Thank you, worship team. We're finishing our series that we started in the first of the year called Crossroads. And just been talking about stepping into this new year and allowing God to do His work in us. You know, and Kim and I have always felt that God has wanted to use us to guide us, to equip us, to teach us, right, to come alongside each other and move forward and grow in our relationship with God, and such a privilege, and you know, and something special to do that with you guys, to come alongside you and walk with you, especially when we begin a new year to begin to set goals and our focus on Jesus. And I would just say this, you know, we are not perfect and we don't have all the answers as we journey together, but we know the one who is perfect and we know the one who does have the answers. And so together, as we, come to these crossroads in our lives, these crisis moments in our lives, we can do it together. You and I and in relationship with our God who loves us and is with us and promises us that He'll never leave us or forsake us. He has a purpose and a plan for our lives, and it begins with us just surrendering to Him, being obedient to Him, having that willing spirit to want to follow Him in every area of our lives. And so when we come together at these crossroads of 2022, we understand that life's not easy and that we all struggle in certain areas of our lives. But the great thing about being in relationship with God and with each other as His church is we can begin to learn how to struggle well together. To learn how to struggle well together. Centuries ago, the prophet Jeremiah looked out upon his generation that felt unsure of where to turn in the midst of crisis and uncertainty. And he declares this in Jeremiah 6:16. It's been our theme verse throughout our series. He says this, "This is what the Lord says." And so every time you see something like that, we need to lean in and listen just a little more closely. He says, "This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient path. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. And you will find rest for your souls." And so I just believe that as we stand and step into 2022, that you know many of us are standing at critical crossroads. And it's my prayer that we're asking, you know, where's the good way? What are those ancient paths? And so in this series, that's what I wanted to do, to kind of show you those ancient paths that kind of lead to rest for our souls. And not only that, but for, you know, to purpose for our lives. Three paths that we've been talking about over the last 3 weeks. Yeah, I call it the three dimensions, really, of our life, of our church. And it's an upward path. It's an inward path and it is an outward path that He's calling us to. We looked a couple of weeks ago at that upward path that is having a transforming relationship with Jesus Christ, worshiping Him with every area of our lives, being intentional and relentless in our worship of our God. It's an upward path that He's calling us to. And then last week we talked about the inward path. Talked about being this authentic community with each other, knowing each other, loving each other, not hiding, right? Now this week we're looking at the fact that God is calling us out, that we have to go outward. And really this message this morning is very simple. It's built around just two words. If you remember these two words, you have the talk, you've got it all. These are actually two commands in the Bible that God gave to Abraham way back when God launched the whole mission that we're now still a part of. God came to Abraham one day out of the blue, and Abraham didn't expect this, I don't think. He did nothing to deserve it, and all of a sudden he hears this in Genesis 12:1-3. It says, "The Lord had said to Abram, 'Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you.'" God's first command is, go. Go to the place that I will show you. And go means you're going to have to trust me, Abraham. Go means that you're going to have to leave your comfort zone where things are familiar to you and known to you, because God says, my project, my mission, which, by the way, Abraham begins with you, involves the whole world. I'm concerned for all humanity. All nations of the earth will be blessed through you. I mean, can you imagine how that sounded to little Abraham? I mean, God says, so Abraham, you can't stay here. You have to go there. You have to go outward. I want you to go. And I'll say a little bit more in a few minutes about what go in particular means for us. But then God gives one more command to Abraham, and it's the word bless. In this passage, there are just two commands, two imperatives. One of them is to go, the other one is bless. God says to Abraham, I will bless you, but that blessing is not for you. It's not for you to keep, Abraham. It's for you to give out. You are blessed to be a blessing to others. And so it's a real simple message. Just two things. Go bless. Go bless. And I want to make sure we all remember that and we're all on the same page. So to kind of wake you up and get you going this morning, let's say those two words together out loud. Are you ready? On the count of three, we're going to say, go bless. All right? One, two, three.
Go bless.
All right. Let's do it one more time with a little more gumption. All right? One, two, three.
Go bless.
Yes. Go bless. That's really the whole deal. But it's on a scale that you can't imagine. God says to Abraham, I will bless you, and all the nations on earth will be blessed through you. This would become a creedal text, kind of a fundamental text for the people of Israel. This is what the people of Israel were all about. This is, I guess you could say, this is their mission statement. That's what we would say maybe in our day. This is their mission statement for the man Abraham. This is the mission statement for the people of Israel. It's also the mission statement for you and me. Your mission and my mission is to go bless. That's why you and I are on this planet. That's why you and I got born. That's why you wake up to bless. And so what does it mean to bless? Well, to bless means to add life, to enhance life, to give life, to make life abundant. Blessing is fundamentally what God does. The first time we see the word bless in Scripture is here in Genesis 1, verses 21 and 22 says, so God created the creatures of the sea and every living and moving thing with which the water teems, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the water in the seas and let the birds increase on the earth. You know, when I look at the water, God says to the fish, I just want to see fish everywhere. And I love this picture of God blessing fish. He made so many things, and I guess so he could have some things to bless. And that's why there are so many things, because God wants to bless. That means he wants to have things to be able to bless. That's his mission. That's his project. That's called the mission of God. You know, we always talk about mission statements. They go way back before corporations or cities or human organizations. Mission begins with God. God has a mission, and that's why he made for himself a people. But his mission came before people. His mission came before the Bible. He gave his mission a Bible. He gave his mission a people. God's mission, God's project is to bless. And then he creates human beings. Verse 27, it says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. God makes stuff and then he blesses it. And then God makes human beings and he blesses them. But because you and I are made in the image of God, every one of us, made in the image of God. You are made in the image of God. You are made in the image of God. You know, every one of us are made in the image of God, whoever you are. God says that the human beings are not just to be blessed, but they are to be a blessing to the earth. Human beings are blessed to be a blessing. There's a mission, and it's God's mission. Before and underneath every human mission statement, the reason I think we cry out for them, the reason that we find them so compelling, the reason organizations want to have mission statements is that's what's behind of all creation and the Creator. It's God's mission. And what's the mission? To bless. Just to bless. Where should you do it? Wherever you go. When should you do it? Today. Today. And I can hear you saying, well, Monty, you know, I'm not trained, I'm not skilled, I don't know how, I'm not articulate about my faith, I don't know how to talk about Jesus, I don't have the resources. Go bless. It's not optional. It's why you were made. And if you don't do that, I don't care how much money you make or how high you think you have climbed up the ladder, you have missed the reason that you were placed on this planet. You can do this. And you can do it anywhere. I was captivated by a story from a book several years ago. It's the subject of the story. The subject of the story is Linda Allen. She's a city of San Francisco bus driver. And Allen greets her regular passengers by name. And she has been known to wait a few extra seconds if one of them isn't at the bus stop on time. She helps elderly passengers with their bags and gives direction to visitors. Once, she even invited a newcomer to the city to her home for a Thanksgiving meal. In return, passengers love Allen. Some will allow other buses to kind of just go past so that they can ride on her bus. Linda Allen has built such a little community of blessing on that bus that passengers on the bus have given her gifts, taken her to lunch on her break, even offered her the use of their vacation homes. Now you think about what a thankless task driving a bus can look like in our world. I mean, just think about that. Cranky passengers, engine breakdowns, traffic jams, gum on the seats, right? I mean, you ask yourself, how does she have this attitude? I'll tell you how. This is in her story. Her mood is set at 2:30 a.m. when she gets down on her knees to pray for 30 minutes. There's a lot to talk about with the Lord, says Allen, a member of the Glad Tidings Church in Hayward. When she gets to the end of her line, she always says, "That's all. I love you. Take care." Have you ever had a bus driver tell you, "I love you"? People wonder, where can I find the kingdom of God? And I will tell you where you can find it: on bus number 45, riding through the streets of San Francisco. People wonder, where can I find the church? Behind the wheel of a metro transit vehicle. Wherever you go, God is calling each one of us to go bless. You know, according to the Bible, if you've been blessed, you're called to be a blessing. And I just want you to understand that you can do this. And I just thought all week long, why can't I do that? Why can't you do that? Why can't we do that? And I just begin to think, what would happen to this area if all of us would follow Jesus, you know, with our daily lives, that we would do that in every area of our lives? What would that look like? Like when we were going to work and we did whatever we do, sit behind a desk, drive a bus, teach kids, whatever it is, be a mom, be a dad. What if we would do that the way Jesus would do it? If he was in our place. That's God's plan. That's the mission of God. That if you have been blessed, you are called to be a blessing. And we're to be a blessing wherever we go. So I want to share with you this morning three ways that we can be intentional about going and blessing others. And so the first one is this: go bless by sowing my resources. By sowing my resources. Go bless, you know, by sowing my resources. My car, my house, my pool, my kids, my time, my future, where I go to college, you know, everything is an opportunity to sow into other people with the love of Jesus. You know, when God matters and people matter and eternity matters, we get to spend the rest of our lives sowing seeds into others that will benefit them. So sow a hug. Sow a I love you. An encouraging word. Sow a God loves you. Sow the hope that you have in Christ. When you go to lunch this afternoon, sow a honking big tip into the waiter's life and say, God loves you. God loves you. Listen, God just wants us to be His hands and feet and to sow our lives into others. And that's where the fun begins. And that, you know, just the, you know, that's where life really begins. To wake up tomorrow morning and take a little glazed love into the office. And they say, why are you so happy? And you get to say, I just wanted to bless you guys today and help you have a great day. You see, you sow your life. Sow your life. Sow your life. And begin to live this awesome life for Him. After Jesus left, the ones who were following Him decided they needed to add another apostle to replace the bad Judas. I don't know if you remember that story. And the requirements were pretty straightforward. The replacement needed to have been with Jesus the whole time that He was here. He had to be a stand-up guy, right? You know, and there were two guys the apostles came up with. One was a guy named Matthias, and the other guy was nicknamed Justus. And I'm not sure how they cast lots back then. Honestly, you know, when I read it, it sounds like like rock, paper, scissors, you know, or something like that. But somehow, however, they picked Matthias. He got the nod. And he's been on every stained glass window from then on. Right? But I've always wondered, what happened to Justus? We never hear about him again. Yet he did all the right things, saw all the right stuff. He knew who Jesus was and was a faithful guy. And the thing is, Justus sounds to me a lot like just us. Just us. Because here's what I know. God's plans are full of just us kind of people. I would say probably the majority of us are just us people. Folks who don't show up on stained glass windows. We just get the opportunity to do what God wants us to do without a lot of fanfare, right? And even though he lost rock, paper, scissors, I bet Justus was one of those just be awesome kind of guys who kept on sowing into the life of others. And what's amazing to me is you and I get that same shot. Getting passed by can feel like a great injury, but it's not. It's people like us who can get the most done. I really believe that. That's the way Jesus' reverse economy kind of works. God loves the humble ones. And the humble ones often don't make it as first-round draft picks for the jobs or for big titles or for positions. But they always seem to be the first round picks for when God is looking for someone to use in a big way. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 7 says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously, your time, your love, your notes, your words, Krispy Kreme, whatever it is, we also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. We can go bless by sowing our resources into other people's lives and allowing God to use that to bring change in their lives. Second, we can go bless by serving others. For several years, I've been very intrigued with a verse of Scripture found in Matthew 20, 28. The verse at times has encouraged me, and at other times it has really convicted me. I mean, when Jesus took the time to explain His reason for coming among us, He was simple and direct. It was to serve and to give His life for others. Not to be served, not to grab the spotlight, right? You know, not to make a name or attract attention or become successful or famous or powerful, but to serve and just to give His life. Isn't it true that we'd rather be served than serve others? I know that's true for me. Every one of us struggles with being selfish. And if you're anything like me, you'll be pleased to know so were the people who hung out with Jesus. Those who were closest to Him. They were also selfish and they struggled with that. And listen, these are the people that spent all the time with Jesus. These guys were with Jesus 24/7. They were His followers, you know, His disciples. They camped together. They ate together. They sat under the teaching of Jesus. They breathed the same air as God in the flesh. And they were very selfish. And so what does Jesus do? Kind of throws a penalty flag, right? He calls a timeout. He lays out the kingdom rules of what it means to follow Him that really set up this new paradigm that we have before us today. Just a new way of living. Look what He says in verse 25 in Matthew 20. But Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave. Jesus is saying, if you want to be great, you've got to serve. And so what I want you to hear this morning in this message, you know, is that Jesus does not reject greatness, nor one's pursuit toward greatness, but He does redefine it. He says, if you want to be great, you serve. If you want to be in the front, you go to the back. If you want to stand out in life, you step down. And then He gives His own life as an example. Verse 28 says, for even the Son of Man, Jesus, came not to be served, but to serve others, and to give His life as a ransom for many. I don't know if it's too early to get this or not, but this is the most mind-blowing quality of Jesus to me. That the God-man, He says, I'm a servant. And if anybody should be served, it would be Him, right? If anybody exalted Him, if anybody adored, it should be adored, it should be Him. But He said, no, I came to serve. You know what that did? That shocked people. And guess what? 2,000 years later, it's still shocking people. It's shocking people, this call to serve. And I've said it over and over, I want the Rock to be on mission for God, placing our emphasis where God places His, on people that are hurting. People matter to God, and we're going to put our hearts and emphasis and place our resources so that we can reach others with His love. Because a real servant is one who loves the one he loves. You can't love me unless you love the ones I love. Right? Because God has called me to serve my generation, I will value God's purposes over possessions positions, popularity, pleasure. To my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I say, and I hope this is your heart, however, whenever, wherever, and whatever you ask me to do, God, my answer in advance is yes. It's yes. Wherever you lead and whatever the cost, I am ready anytime, anywhere. I want to be used by you in such a way that on that final day, God, I get to hear you say, well done, good and faithful servant. Not well done, giver. Not well done, member. But well done, good and faithful servant. Jesus said, if you want to be great, then be a servant. And the greatest of all is always the most servant of all. Because you have been blessed to be a blessing, we've been blessed to be a blessing, so we go. And we serve. And we share our resources. And third, we go blessed by sharing Christ. Because here's what I know. Good deeds without the good news is not enough. Social justice without spiritual justice is not enough. So we meet needs and we share Jesus. We meet needs and we share Jesus. And we do it on purpose. And so I want to encourage you, pray for those at your workplace. Pray for those at your school. Be intentional. The greatest blessing we have is to share with everybody, is that they can be a friend of Jesus, that they can have a relationship with Jesus. And then we do for them what Jesus would do with them. And I have to ask you, really, are you doing that? Are you going? Are you going to people that are far from God? Do you really care about them? Do you have a heart for them? Are you praying for any individual who does not know your Jesus? Are you asking, God, use me? You never know where God will show up. And the reason that is because He goes ahead of us. I'm telling you, there is nothing like being a part of somebody's spiritual adventure, somebody's spiritual journey from here to there, to Jesus. And we want to be a church, a people, where that's happening all the time. And so my challenge for you as we step into this ancient path of, you know, this outward path. My challenge to you is, will you pray for at least one person who doesn't know God to come to faith in Jesus? And then to ask God to make you a part of that. Blessed to be a blessing. Matthew 9, verse 35, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. He went and he saw and he had compassion. I always think about that. And I know compassion doesn't mean passion, but I think sometimes it can mean to come with passion. Come with this passion inside of you to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Compassion, the definition is awareness of the misfortune of another accompanied with the action to relieve it. You know, we are learning about upward, what it looks to live with Jesus all the time. We're learning about inward. What does it look like to be a real community where there's no pretending, no hiding, and absolutely anybody, any background, any race, any socioeconomic class, anyone could just come in here and begin to be a part of this family. But we can't stay in. We have to go out for a really good reason. And it's not on my authority. Jesus says, go bless. Matthew 28, 18 through 20 says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Go to the land I will show you, to that place, and make disciples of all nations. That command way back to little Abraham is now coming to you and to me. Every time I read this passage, it reminds me of my favorite Dr. Seuss book, Oh, the Places You'll Go. Oh, the places you'll go. Let me just read a part of it. He says, congratulations, today is your day. You're off to great places. You're off and away. You have brains in your head and you have feet in your shoes. You can steer yourself any direction you choose. And when things start to happen, don't worry, don't stew. Just go right along. You'll start happening too. All the places you'll go. You'll be on your way up. You'll be seeing great sights. You'll join the high flyers who soar to high heights. Except when you don't. Because sometimes you won't. All alone, whether you like it or not, alone will be something you'll be quite a lot. Kids, you'll move mountains. So be your name Buxbaum or Bixby or Bray or Mordecai Van Allen O'Shea. You're off to great places. Today is your day. Your mountain is waiting. So get on your way. And I always want to rewrite that ending. And so here it is. Here's Monty's ending. Make disciples of every nation, be their name, Boxman or Bailey or Bray or Mordecai Ben Allen O'Shea. We'll use those names, right? At last, after all these years, after Abraham, all the nations will be blessed. And all alone is one thing you will never be, because wherever you go, you will go there with me. Kid, you'll move mountains. You see, we don't step into this new year, whether it's, you know, you're at a critical place or a crisis, we don't step into it alone. If you are a follower of Christ, He promises us that He will be with us, that He will never leave us or forsake us. And so He is with us. And Dr. Seuss didn't invent the idea of moving mountains. You know where that idea came from? That was a guy named Jesus who said, if you have faith, you will say to this mountain, mountain be moved and it'll move. Oh, the places that you'll go. The places that He's calling you to. We can't stay in. We have to go out. You and I have to follow Jesus relentlessly, being intentional, sowing resources, serving others, sharing Christ. Go bless. Because one day, Jesus is coming back. And in between then and now, in between this day and that day when He comes back, in between all the places that you and I have opportunity to go, think about the places that you'll go. And so I want to send you out, just spiritually talking about, you know, spiritually going outward. And you can be a part if you want. You can be a part if you dare. Just sow, serve, and share. Pray with me. Oh God, do not let us stay here. When I think about how You have blessed even the women and men in this room, oh God, in this church, it's really just staggering to me, oh God. So Father, don't let us keep those blessings to ourselves. God, could there be an outpouring of Your Spirit, of the love of Jesus, of the power of the gospel, of the reclamation of human lives, of the deliverance of human souls, an outpouring of generosity, God, of time, of resources, of gifts? God, just make it so in our lives. Help us to be a people, Father, that want to sow our resources that you have blessed us with and go be a blessing to others. God, help us to be a people that want to serve others, Father, even when it goes against our very nature. Father, fill us with your Spirit and allow us to be your servants, putting others' needs before our very own. And Father, as you give us opportunity to meet those needs, would you help us to be a people that share the love of you, God, through your Son, Jesus Christ. That, God, we would be praying and looking for opportunities to share the good news, to share our story of how you've changed us. Make it so, God. And Father, those who are here in this space right now this morning that have never said yes to you, have never surrendered all to you, God, would you give them the courage right now to hear your Spirit's voice as you call them to be in relationship with you, God. Right now, wherever they are, here in this place, or Father, leaning in, listening, God, would you speak to their hearts? Through the power of your Holy Spirit, God, would you draw them into a relationship with you? Would you give them the courage to confess with their mouths, God, that they want you to be their Lord? To believe in their heart that, God, you sent your Son Jesus and that he went to the cross to pay for our sins, our mess-ups, so that we could be forgiven. And then he rose on that third day so that we could experience victory over death. God, would you help those just confess and surrender and receive you into their hearts, even in this moment. God, would you bring your salvation to them? And God, for us that have that personal forever relationship with you, God, help us to get excited about this new year and what you are calling us to, every one of us, each of us, Father. May we relentlessly pursue you in every area of our lives. Father, may we relentlessly pursue being obedient to you. God, may we be a people that because we are so blessed, that our passion, our gumption, oh God, is to go and bless. Help us to be a people that sow, that serve, and share. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.